Just before we dive in, a quick message from our sponsor. The Upskill Podcast is brought to you by Complete Learning Solutions, an award-winning learning and development consultancy and proud partner with Doshibo in Asia Pacific, which is an industry-leading cloud-based learning experience platform for all your customer and partner training, employee onboarding, and sales enablement by leveraging the power of artificial intelligence to scale your L&D strategy. Book a demo with us by visiting www.doshibo.com and start to reimagine your corporate learning today, or visit www.completelearning.co.nz to learn more. Now, we're excited to jump straight into the content. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Upskill Podcast for this interview with James Sinclair. He is the CEO of Enterprise Alumni, a fantastic company doing amazing things in pretty much everything right now, I'd say, related to recruiting and talent economy and all that kind of good stuff that's going on. And it's been an incredible year with COVID. And James Sinclair, I'm just so happy to speak to James again, because last year we touched base, but we couldn't really nail down the podcast last year. And I know you've done about 40 or 50 podcasts last year. So I'm so happy to have you on, James. How are you doing, mate?
I'm doing great. I remember when we ended our last conversation, when it was supposed to be just a quick touch base to make sure we both weren't totally weirdos. We were like, oh, I wish we'd recorded this, because I feel like that could have been a great episode in itself.
Oh, totally. It was just a 30-minute chat I had with you. And I had more questions coming out of that informal chat with you than going into it. So thank you very much, first of all. I think I just want to let the listener know that I had such a great chat with you. And you know, James is a very interesting person. You know, it's so fast paced speaking to you, and I learn so much every time. It's like a mini exploration session of what's going on in the world. So please go ahead, James. What's been going on? What's been going on with you over the last year, especially since, you know, the pandemic? And what interesting insights do you have? Tell us about your mission and stuff like that first.
Yeah, for sure. And based on that amazing intro, I feel like when we end this, I should say, you know, thank you for attending my TEDx. Have a great day. You know, for us, we focus on this concept of alumni management, which is you go work for a company, you leave, and most companies are like, well, have a nice life. And the reality is that that's impossible. People are moving so much quicker now. People are not staying 40 years in one job. So we're seeing this huge value in kind of maintaining a relationship with people kind of for life throughout their career. You know, we all know that companies that can hire fast are going to be more able to meet their financial targets, adapt to change, all of those bits and pieces. You know, the pandemic has brought a wave of customers for us. And it's been a tough situation because one wants to celebrate getting a customer for all the right reasons. But the reality is we're getting customers for all the wrong reasons. We're getting customers because they are having to furlough and lay off and push out thousands of tremendous employees that they wish they didn't have to. And they're not pushing them out into their next career. They're pushing them out into unemployment. And so, you know, it's been a real journey of making sure that, we are conscious of that. We are very, very supportive. And as an organization, we actually have always believed that the end users is our customer. So making sure that we're delivering that alumni an incredible experience to learn, to train, to find a new job, to get help, all the things that we know they need right now, you know, under this conversation of the pandemic umbrella, but it's certainly not a cause for celebration. You know, I think the one thing that we can potentially look at as a kind of a net plus out of this is the conversation around alumni management has become mainstream. It's not a secret anymore that actually it's a good thing to do to keep in touch with people. So, you know, it's a fine balance.
How did you come up with the idea of Enterprise Alumni? When was that, and how did that come together for you?
Yeah, I think like so many people, you know, you're just walking down the street and you fall down a pothole and an opportunity lands and you run with it. I've been in the HR line of business for a long time. I have felt unapologetically that the HR technology was always a decade behind what sales technology was doing. You know, so, you know, last year, the big thing was chatbots. that was a decade ago in the consumer space. And so I've always believed the HR space is ripe for a tremendous, call it disruption or whatever that might be. And really this was just a white space that we saw in speaking to some of my customers when I was working in my last job, of just recognizing that there was this opportunity or white space. And as we think about the next 10, 15 years and people are talking about what the labor pool is going to look like and, you know, how many new skills are going to be needed and how many, you know, adjustments in the fourth revolution, where are you going to get those people? You know, you need a group of pre-qualified, pre-vetted talent. And that's going to be the people that used to work for you that you know you can trust to do the job.
Absolutely. And I think it's a really interesting, you've touched on so many points there already. But I think, you know, considering the person listening to this podcast, this episode on YouTube, I think a lot of people are very, very concerned about, from an employment perspective, what are companies doing to help me to stay in touch with the company, you know, from a brand perspective, from pretty much everything related to project-based work, the gig economy, what developments are hot right now? What are things that you're working on in bringing into the market and bringing a sense of hope and a sense of, okay, you know, technology is hopefully going to help us out here.
Yeah, I mean, that's a nice big packing juicy question there. I think from our perspective, the people that are unemployed, looking for work, who are on furlough, who really none of us know what tomorrow holds. You know, you and I spoke just before this and I was like, you know, think about the bartender who last March thought, oh, I'm going to be on leave for 3-4 weeks while this whole flu thing disappears. And a year later, she hasn't, you know, touched a cocktail and served a cocktail at all.
Exactly. Or the truck driver, for example, who's going to lose his job to, you know, AI or self-driving vehicles, you know, how does he transition to become a programmer over the next one or two, you know, those kind of situations?
I think there's a couple of things. Number one is I think the pandemic has opened up two big opportunities. Number one, we don't care where you are. Are you the best person for the role? And suddenly location, you know, can you commute to, are you close to our office, has been replaced with, you know, tell me how you work. Tell me how, you know, the hours you work. Tell me about your skill set. So for companies, you know, when you focus around kind of the area, if you think about us, we're in Los Angeles. If we were to only hire in our metro area, we are excluding 99.9% of amazing candidates just because they're not in the metro Los Angeles area. And so pandemic A has basically said, well, actually, I can touch 100% of my candidate pool. Why do I have to exclude base? So I think that's a good thing. Mm. The second thing is the, you know, kind of advance of skills that companies need that you can learn tomorrow. People need help with Zoom. People need help with Microsoft Teams, with Slack, with, you know, all of these remote tools. You know, every company like me that's moved to doing webinars with, you know, a fancy mic and lights, someone's got to come set that up for me. Someone's got to help me do that. And so these are all teachable skills. They don't necessarily require as many soft skills or, you know, compassion and empathy and patience. No, it just requires someone who understands how to light this and not get lights on my glasses. So I think this is an incredible opportunity for people to take stock of where they are and understand what do they want to do? What do they think they want to do? And most importantly, all of the content is out there almost for free. Yes, there's, you know, Masterclass and there's these other things that you can subscribe to, Harvard Business, you can go to LinkedIn Learning, but they're giving most of that away for free. But you can consume so much just on Google that actually you have no excuse. And just to be clear, I get it. When the world is crashing around us and you don't know what your tomorrow looks like, it is very difficult to wake up and say, you know what? I'm excited to learn this new skill. You have no choice. And if anything, this pandemic has accelerated people to recognize the change is coming anyway. If it wasn't the pandemic, it's the truckers through AI. It's the lack of retail work because Amazon's sucking up X billion dollars of retail per year. So if it wasn't the pandemic, it will be something else anyway. So and I'm not glorifying the fact that this is an awful situation. I'm just stating that as an individual, you can learn a new skill and you can probably earn more money. I mean, we had one customer in Asia, in the transportation business, who told the people that they were furloughing and then eventually terminating or putting on unemployment. Use this time to learn these five things. This is what we need. Reapply. Mm-hmm. I will hire you before I hire someone else if you can come in with these. And again, the simple hard skills, lighting, Zoom, Slack, Teams.
Yeah.
Different to the journey you're talking about becoming a developer, but there's starting places as well. There's so many great places. You know, I think development people are like, oh my God, the Matrix. I'm going to have a screen and there's going to be green things coming down. And how's that going to work? And Keanu Reeves is going to pop out. It's actually not that. It's, you know,
right.
There are ways to start and to get there and to see if you like it. Maybe you don't, you know, also don't force yourself into that weird bubble of, oh my God, my friend Mitch is earning this amount of money as an engineer at this company. I want to earn that. So I'm going to do that. Because if you're not passionate and excited about developing, you're going to be an awful, well, not necessarily, but you're not going to be a highly productive and amazing engineer. So you've got to find your thing, whatever that is.
Yeah, I think those things you touched on are really, really interesting. And I think you're right. I think we're going to see more and more of that. Companies giving their employees the chance to say, hey, you know, go with it, run with it, see what you can do, learn. And then I'm going to, you know, say, hey, I'm going to choose you over somebody else that maybe wasn't with the company prior to any kind of situation. Could you talk more in detail about how important that is moving forward into 2021, or how important that's going to become for companies to really realize that and to kind of put the systems and the mindset, the philosophy into place and instill it into the culture? Because we are really talking about a culture change at the highest level.
Yeah, and you know, there are certain countries, certain regions where the concept of leaving is still considered treason. And that's okay.
Exactly.
And if that company's cultural values don't align with you, I understand this is not the time to kind of look around and be choosy, but potentially try and find a company that does match your values. Try and find a company that does meet it, because the reality is companies don't have a choice anymore. They need rapid access to people, and they need those people to be good. And people always forget the cost of hiring the wrong person. You know, if I hire someone off LinkedIn that applies, that on paper seems amazing and interviews incredibly, and then gets here and is awful, you know, there's a monster cost. I think they say it's like 3x the salary at a minimum. So what you're going to start to see is companies saying, I want to reduce my risk. I know if I hire you back, I can speak to your old manager. I can see your old performance report. I know you've been vetted. I know you're cleared. And also, you know, kind of the skeletons in the closet. And what I mean by that is, you know, some of the weird quirks that every single business have. So you're going to be more effective. So I think what you're seeing is a tremendous market shift of doing that. And, you know, I often tell people who are looking for work, even if the company they used to work for doesn't have a program, go to them. I used to work for you. I saw this job, you know, you'll be able to see my performance. You'll be able to see I didn't leave because you fired me. I left because I found another opportunity. I moved and just pretend, worst case, it starts a conversation. Worst case, it gets you, you know, you've got to look for what puts you above a random stranger on the internet. So I also think that the looking kind of candidate or the applicant doesn't necessarily need to see that the company has a program to actually reach out and have a conversation about it. Because as a recruiter, I would much rather hire someone where I can look at their CRM profile and be like, oh, Sally was amazing. Oh my God, everyone loved her. And she just emailed me. I'm in.
In terms of the flexible economy that I've been really interested in, I've been reading up about it a lot in the last few months, the flexible talent revolution. Could you tell us more about the kind of trends that are taking place? Because I'm really seeing it from a point of view of someone who might be in dire straits and then, you know, thinking about, oh, well, I've just lost my job. Well, how can I regain some part of my, you know, own sanity and dignity by, because maybe they're not aware of this whole gig economy. Maybe they think of it as like kind of lower tier, or they might think of it like, oh, that's just like, contractor work or independent work. You know, that's not, you know, I should be in a fully fledged paid job situation. Could you speak to that a bit?
So I think the market's changed, actually, most of the world. I think anywhere that it hasn't, it's on its way. But yes, if we take the kind of old perception, it was, well, I'm not, you know, a designer who does contract work. I'm not, you know, a delivery driver who's a contractor, and I'm not working on a factory line as a contractor. But actually, the term contractor is now replaced. Actually, companies love a good contractor. Contractor gives the company flexibility, gives the employee flexibility, and essentially reduces the commitment, reduces the risk, reduces the burden. So you're starting to see more companies say, you know, I need this and I need it tomorrow. I don't want to have to onboard you and go through this process. Can you do this skill? Yes, great, be here tomorrow morning. And I think, you know, your listeners and everyone just needs to understand that's where this conversation of upskilling comes in. You know, normalizing what it means to learn and be educated and learning what it means to learn new things and to be adventurous and to be okay going down a black hole on YouTube or finding different things and looking for. Look, you've got to find the thing that makes you smile. You've got to find the thing that's going to make you happy, but happiness doesn't pay the bills, you know, but maybe this time does enable you to say, what is it I'd like to do? What can I get skilled up on? What can I do? What can I do contract to help me learn better? You know, so we've seen a wave of, you know, there was a great article that came out the other day about the amount of people who are on platforms like Upwork and they have full-time jobs. Yes. They're full-time jobs. They're professionals. They work. Yes. And these are not professionals like kind of ish. These are people who have amazing jobs with Fortune 1000 companies who are saying, you know, on the side, I want to do some consulting. I want to see if I'm as good as I think I am. I want to see if I have the chops to actually do it outside of, you know, this big bank. And so the talent pool is there. And if you think about the other side as a company, I don't care where you are. I care if you have the skills I need to help this organization drive forward. Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, again, we go back to kind of pandemic skills. We have had to hire someone to organize the podcast. We've had to hire someone to do the SEO on the podcast, the lighting, the cat. Like there's so many bits that I never anticipated needing to hire for, but amazing. And I'm delighted. Yeah. And it's not my skill set. So why do I don't need to make it my skill set. Instead, there's people out there perfectly qualified who will come in and do it immediately. No training, no nothing. Tell me what you need. Give me 45 minutes. I'll come back. I'll tell you how I'm going to do it. Here's my rate. And by the way, if I don't do what I say I'm going to do, you can fire me at any time because I'm contract. Well, that seems like a win-win. And
I
specifically look for people that aren't necessarily the top of their game, being doing this for 20 years. Yes. I want the person who's newer. And I'm not saying I'm prepared to have someone who doesn't understand how to turn on the light. What I'm saying is I'm prepared to have someone who has new ideas, a bit of hustle, who's not going to walk in and say, here's the 17-step process, have a good day. Not everything is required to follow that vanilla step. I want the producer who's helping our podcast and the audio to say, hey, I have a great idea. What if we took snippets and did this? And let me introduce you to my friend because he might be able to help you on social. I love diversity of opinion. I think diversity of opinion very often comes from finding eagerness. I will always hire an eager, excited person who has the core soft skills. They're good people. They have empathy. They're enjoyable to talk to. And what can I train them? I will always take that if I can.
Before we move on a little bit, I do want to catch you on something we talked about last year. And I think the listener will appreciate the concept of lifetime employment, which now after, you know, COVID has really taken shape and left a lasting mark on human history and the development of the world of work and et cetera. You know, people might laugh at the idea of, you know, life employment. Yeah, right. You know, good one. Is there any hope still? You know, you also mentioned about the fourth industrial economy and that, you know, I've been seeing things in the UK, you know, we are the 99% and then the 1%.
Right.
Can you, you know, what's going on there? I mean, are we all doomed to just, you know, lose our jobs to AI essentially?
I'm not the expert on are we doomed, but my general inclination is we are not, is number one. The second thing, I think what's important to note is, you know, the truck driver losing his or her job to an AI-driven Tesla truck doodad. The truck driver is not going to be able to turn left and become something else as practical. He or she is going to have to gain new skills. Period. That entire section of work is gone. They're going to have to learn new skills and they're probably going to have to move as well. There's a big conversation around that. You saw that happen in the US, especially around the election cycle where people were talking about kind of what's next for this economy. And, you know, AI is going to displace X million jobs and truckers and this. And the answer was, you know, we have to have a path for these people to learn new skills, train on new skills. And those people potentially may need to consider relocation. Now, I would tell you, pandemic actually, mm-hmm. again, has removed that. So what the pandemic has probably done, also what we've seen in Asia, is mm-hmm. in many companies where leaving was considered treason, of course you can't come back. You were disloyal to the family business.
Exactly, yeah.
We've actually seen a pandemic almost turn that around overnight, where companies haven't had a choice. I mean, we've got one bank in Asia, and the guy I was speaking to on a day-to-day basis, suit, tie, office, everything perfect. Mm-hmm. And we always talked about kind of everything's very old school here, old school, you know, don't push change. Mm-hmm. And he would always tell me when I go into like one of my meetings with him and his boss and say, well, don't push change too much. And then pandemic hit. And now all of a sudden they're on Slack, they've changed everything. So here's the reality. Companies that can adapt to change rapidly are going to succeed. Companies that didn't invest in their people, didn't invest in the skill set of the people, the culture of the people, are going to rapidly die, period. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, because we need the world to catch up. That there's a new way of work. And the new way of work revolves around, it's a privilege to have you work for me, not a right. And I think we're going to see a tremendous move to the employee advocate conversation. And look, we think that as a company, we always have that perspective. Every person that works for me, I really do believe it's a privilege to have them. And it's my obligation and duty to ensure that I am helping them get to whatever the next thing is. And I hope it's with us, and I hope they stay with us. But if they don't, they're going to walk away knowing that I did everything to make them as competent and as skilled and as happy as I possibly could. And I think you're going to see that go into the mass market, which is, you know, the employee has choices. And you're also seeing it in the consumer market. I mean, you're seeing younger generations start to make more conscious purchasing decisions. I want to buy from a company that is offsetting its carbon footprint. I want to buy from a company that has female-led ownership or diversity at the leadership board. So you're seeing this next generation do it anyway. So it's inevitable.
That's very interesting. And you're touching on some really interesting macro trends there. In my personal opinion, you know, I see the traditional university, traditional education, that being replaced by what companies are able to do now. I really see companies as becoming the kind of becoming not responsible as such, but acting more like universities were in the old days. Because I remember having some great uni experiences, and also been, you know, part of several alumni organizations, and, you know, had a really good time. I benefited in terms of knowledge, in terms of network, you know, it did help me out a little bit. But that feeling of being a student in a university doing an undergrad or, you know, a master's degree, I did have that feeling that they wanted to keep me there. I felt like, you know, they right. didn't, you know, in the end, like, all this studying, you know, they preferred me to stay, and I had the feeling like, oh, you know, I really want to stay as well, because, you know, going out into the real world just sounds so creepy, so scary. You know, reality is going to hit. No, I just want to stay study. You know, I just want to, you know, be a student for the rest of my life. So
I have a lot of educational opinions because I have kids, so they've changed significantly. What I'll tell you, but that's fine. I love that. I love thinking about changes. You know, I'll tell you a recent change. My oldest daughter is learning to drive. I have become the most compassionate person on the road to every other driver, because in my head, every other driver could be my kid. And so the same has happened about education. I've always had this view. Of course you go to university. That's not, what do you mean? You know, no, you don't. But actually what you're seeing, I mean, I can tell you that when people send resumes, I don't want to see their education. I don't want to see where they went to university. I don't want to, you know, people have bias. We know it exists. It's not always on purpose. It just exists. So we, or I, try and do as much as possible to remove that bias out the window. First time I speak to you, I want to speak to you on the phone, no video. I don't want to open your resume. I want to hear about some core skills. And I want to talk to you. And I think, you know, I think you said something really important there, which is, and you took it back. You said, I think companies should become more responsible, maybe not responsible for, and I actually think responsible is exactly the right word. What if when you first went to your first job, they taught you financial management? What if they taught you essentially how not to, you know, throw away your cash on stuff you don't need? What if they taught you how to negotiate? What if they taught you how to talk about money and to negotiate? How to, you know, what if they talk to you about how to deal with conflict with a manager you hate? If you could teach people those skills earlier, the number of people that would have a better career path because of it would be incrementally larger. Everyone would benefit in the entire kind of cycle of that employee. And so I actually do believe that companies should become more responsible to saying, look, we want to hire a good person. We will teach you the skills to complete the job. I mean, we're seeing this even in pandemic, which is, okay, you know, we know you're amazing here and we love you. We know you are analytical. We know you are good at languages, blah, blah, blah. We think we can teach you how to do this. And we think you're going to get it, you know, quick enough that it makes it worthwhile. So I think you should absolutely keep the word that companies have a responsibility for teaching soft skills, teaching life skills that you don't learn in university anyway. You know, the biggest thing that I think about from university is the network I made, the drinking I managed to complete type of thing. And by the way, I didn't go to university. I ended up deciding I wanted to work. And that was
awesome.
And you know, there are, I think all of those preconceived notions are out. You know, when I think about, again, my oldest daughter and what she's thinking to do, what are you thinking? You know, because actually my concept of her going to university was my idea, what I expected of her without actually thinking what does she want to do? What she's expecting.
Yeah.
And you've got to, if you can enable people to have that. So I think you should keep the word responsibility. It is an obligation, responsibility of the company to provide their employees not only a framework to continue their education from a skills and technologies and, you know, continual education, but also life education. You know, I always think to myself, if someone had just told me to put $100 from my paycheck every, you know, other week into a savings account, the first 6 months I would be like, why would I? It's only $600 in there. Right now, I'd be buying a house all cash. You know,
exactly. Absolutely. It's these are crazy times we're in right now. What's your prediction for 2021? I'd love to just to hear what you have to say about the things that we have to look forward to, and you know, potential concerns as well for companies. Number one, for HR, for you know, learning and development. What are some key things that you're expecting to happen and kind of waiting to play out?
So I think we've removed the term from our methodology, from our terminology of, you know, when it gets back to normal. No, there is no back.
That's
normal.
Out.
You know, it's gone. Everything is going to be a development from where we're at today. And
agreed.
Certain areas of normalcy might return, but there's no going back to normal. You know, just because there's a vaccine, I'm not going to, you know, a concert tomorrow type of thing. I think this is the opportunity for people to take a moment, to take stock of their life. Where are they? Where they're going? What they're doing. And even if you're employed or not employed, are you doing what you want to be doing? Are you at the salary you want to be? And essentially map out that career path. The great thing about kind of career paths is there's billions of data points already out there. So when someone has to rethink where they are and where they want to go, there is always someone who's done it before. There's someone they can speak to. There's someone they can connect to. There's someone they can watch. There's a YouTube. And I think people forget about that. And, you know, you and I call it continuous education, upskilling. And people do it every day. Every day someone goes to Google and checks questions, you know, what's the capital of this? That's upskilling. You that's know, upskilling. You may not call it that, but it is. And so, you know, this is the time to get your head down and to learn. If there is something you want to do and there is something you want to go into, go learn it. And there are plenty of places and forums and sites where you can test, try, play, you name it. You know, I'm really big around just get on with it. Get on with it, because here's the thing, at the end of this, and there is no end because we're in the new normal, you know, you're gonna say, what did I achieve this year? Well, I finished Gran Turismo. You know, I watched every episode of, you know, Friends 3 times. I'm a bit fatter, and that's great, but you're only going to have yourself to blame. And I think, and don't get me wrong, I have unbelievable empathy. And the trouble is people are waiting. Too many people are sitting waiting for it to go back to normal and say, well, I don't want to start this because, you know, I've heard that next week or in the vaccine. Get it out of the way. Assume this is your new life. What would you do? And get busy. And that's, I think that's, you know, it's not a prediction, it's a statement. This is going to be the year where you're going to see the people who got busy, who understood change, who understood transformation, find their moment. And this is also the time where people who are in economies where they thought they couldn't get those type of jobs can immediately get those type of jobs.
Well said, well said. And it's not too late. It's not too late for people to embrace just what you said there. Thank you so much, James, Mr. James Sinclair on the Upskill podcast. Thank you so, so much. I would recommend everyone to check out the white paper. I saw the white paper on your website, Together is Better, Enterprise Alumni, an introduction into how Enterprise Alumni complements your current HR technologies to deliver incredible recruiting outcomes to customers around the globe.
Fascinating read. If people are looking for some nighttime center sleep, it is phenomenal. But I think it's important. You know, I think my final statement to you, David, is, you know, you've been great about kind of giving me a platform and letting me talk. It is, you know, there's help out there. There's conversations out there. If someone wants to talk about it, cool. Ping me on LinkedIn. Like, you know, and if I don't have time, I'll tell you I don't have time. But people have to take that step. If people don't take the step, you and I can podcast until we're blue in the face and it doesn't make a difference. If the person on the other end is like, well, that was interesting, and then goes back to the video game or goes back to doing nothing, then it's on them. You know, my COVID thing was visible six pack. It's on me that I'm not there. You know what I mean? It's on me and only on me.
You're awesome. You're awesome. I wish you all this success, James, this year and the next 10 years, this huge mega cycle we're on. Super exciting. And I will put all the links below on the YouTube video coming up soon. And yes, thank you so much once again. Have a great day.
This has been my TEDx. Thanks for joining.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening, and we really hope you enjoyed the content and that you learned something new. Please help us by sharing this episode with a friend or colleague and start a conversation on social media. We'd love to hear and engage with you. Make sure to subscribe to the Upskill Podcast channel on YouTube for the screencast video of this podcast with timestamps, show notes, and resources, and leave a comment to let us know your thoughts on what we discussed today. And would really appreciate it if you could give this podcast a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, as it helps us to reach more like-minded people to grow our community. You can also follow me on LinkedIn by searching for Dave Online, and bye for now.